Well, good morning. Good to have each one here this morning, and thankful for the Lord's safety and His protection to all of us since we've been here last. This morning, I would like to ask that you would especially keep us in our prayers, in your prayers. We feel like we've had a real desire to speak about this subject that we're going to talk about today. And maybe it's just the enemy, and I'll take responsibility for saying that I could be, have spent more time being prepared. So I desire your prayers that the Lord will take the thoughts and be able to anoint them to our ears and our minds today. One of the things that means a lot to me in life is to see realization and understanding come on the expression and in the eyes of another person. So sometimes we get into those situations where somebody is talking about something, and I've been there many times where someone was having a discussion about a subject that was completely over my head. didn't know enough to ask an intelligent question. And as time went on, the realization that I could start grasping what they were talking about is it's a good feeling. It's a place that I feel like all of us like to come to. So I'd like for us to look at something. It's not a new thing. It's not something you've never heard about. In fact, it's been around many, many years. So I'd like to begin by asking us, does the name Leonardo da Vinci mean anything to you? Ever heard that name before? What do you know about him? He was what? As a painter. Well, I'm not here to laud the virtues of being a painter, but he did paint a picture that has been pretty noteworthy, and it has to do with the time frame or season that we are coming up to. Excuse me. He painted a picture and gave it the title The Last Supper. Y'all ever remember seeing that? So why would he call it the Last Supper? Was it, did he call it the Last Supper because it was the last meal that Jesus ate with his disciples? Maybe. Did he call it the Last Supper because it was the last meal that Jesus ate before he was crucified? Or was there something deeper than that? Why would you look on that as the Last Supper? I'd like for us to go to St. John, the 13th chapter, and notice in this, we'll just begin at the first verse. He says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, that's where I want to stop. And supper being ended. The Passover meal that Jesus had just partook of with his disciples had come to, they had accomplished what it, its function was to be. And I don't know about you, but where I grew up, we ate three meals a day. We ate breakfast, dinner, and supper. Now, some of you eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And that corresponds with the same time frame. It kind of depends on where you were raised and the people that you interact with and all of that, what you call the three typical meals that we eat in a day. But supper, that was a time that we gathered together and ate as a family at the end of the day. And so it's very easy for me to relate to this, being in the evening. I believe it was in the evening of the day, towards nightfall. But John is the only one of the four Gospels that refers to this as supper, as best I can tell. We can read this same account in Matthew, the 26th chapter. We can read this account of Jesus coming to eat the Passover with his disciples in Mark, the 14th chapter. We can also read it in Luke, the 22nd chapter. And I'd like to turn maybe to Luke now, the 22nd chapter. And I want to look at the verse 8. So remember, our thought and our burden today is that there would be some understanding and some realization that would come. Something that's beyond just, I know that Easter is coming, and typically a congregation, I hope it's typical for all congregations that they would endeavor to have a ordinance service before Easter Sunday. Look here in Luke, the 22nd chapter, in the 8th verse, 7th verse beginning. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And the Passover included a week of eating unleavened bread in the Old Testament. We may read some of that. And verse 8 says, "And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat." So Jesus commissioned Peter and John, his close associates. Peter most likely was included, because I know that we all know that Peter was very energetic, and he had lots of enthusiasm. And if you got Peter involved in something, that things were going to happen. And John told Peter and John, you go and prepare. We're going to partake of the Passover as a unit, as a fellowship. It's the Savior, the Lord Jesus, and his disciples. So they did. And how does the Passover meal become the Last Supper? How does it become what's called the Lord's Supper? If you will notice down in about the 19th verse here, I believe, maybe in the margin of my Bible, beginning in the 17th verse, over in the margin it says, "The institution of the Lord's Supper." Okay? Most likely all of your Bibles has a reference over or something in the margin that is referring to what is being described here as the beginning or the institution, the implementing of the Lord's Supper. So he says, "And he took the cup," verse 17, "and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." So he took something that they did. What was the Passover? I just want your minds to start thinking. But he took this Passover that they had been prepared. It was a special meal that they were to partake of, and it dated way back. God instructed them, you do this continually. You do this forever, to the Old Testament Hebrews. So Jesus took that, and he gave them an illustration. He told them, I want you to realize that just as that lamb was sacrificed and its blood was put on the doorpost so that the death angel would pass over your ancestors, this bread, this unleavened bread, and this cup, this juice that's in this cup, they may have actually used the word wine. I choose to believe that it was not intoxicating liquor like we would think of as wine today. He says, this cup and this unleavened bread, I want you to, from now on, I want you to remember this is a representative of my body and my blood. He says, I want you to, what did he say there in verse 19? This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. So he's instigating something that should be commemorated. It hadn't happened yet, but he's instigating something there. So the Passover in the Old Testament, we've kind of touched on this a little bit, was commemorating the deliverance of the children of Israel, the Hebrews, from Egypt and the bondage that was there. It was from being spared the sword of the death angel that came over them. So let's go back to Exodus, the 12th chapter, and read a verse or two back there where this was all happening. And this is where God was given the instruction to I got Genesis, so I need to be in Exodus. Exodus, the 12th chapter. God was given these instructions to Moses, and he said here, maybe verse, let's start in verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, that ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, that ye will keep it a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations ye shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. A feast by ordinance. How many of you are fully understanding what an ordinance is? You ever seen a sign that says city ordinance at the bottom of it, or maybe at the top, according to city ordinance, whatever, maybe a number or something, engine brakes are not allowed. Whatever it is, there may be a city ordinance that says don't spit on the sidewalk. There's not a lot of explanation for someone that wants to ask why. It just says we have an ordinance. This is something we live by. This is something that we do. This is something, it don't make you healthier. It doesn't make your truck go faster. It doesn't do anything like that. This is something, if you're in these boundaries, this is what you're expected to comply with. And God said, I want you to do this as an ordinance. I want you to do this in remembrance. I want you to do this. You ever eat when you're not hungry? We've probably all done that. Eat because something looks good, tastes good. Maybe you come to someone's house and they have some fresh cookies just out of the oven and you've just had a sandwich. And they say, surely you can eat a cookie. Well, most of us can't refuse that. That just, even though we're not hungry, it's something that looks pretty good. So, an ordinance. Doing something in remembrance. You know, I've been married one time, but every year I think it's a good thing for us to observe our anniversary. It's something we do. There's a routine. There's something that I think it's good to remember. Why are we living in the same house? You know, God wanted His people. I want you to stop and think about this. Every year, I want you to stop. I want you to take a week and eat unleavened bread. We only do it for one little service, and we don't eat very much of it. I want you to stop and do this. I want you to remember how magnificent that deliverance was from Egypt. He says, do this Passover for that. So Jesus gave His disciples the instruction, you go prepare for that Passover meal. And then that is where He said, I want you to think about something different now. This bread and this cup represents My body that's given for you. Today, when we have an ordinance service, it's an ordinance not because when we get out of there we're more holy than we went in. All right? It's an ordinance, something that we do in remembrance. It's something to refresh. How is it that I can defeat the devil with prayer? How is it that I can resist temptation with the grace of God? How is it that I can be a different person now than I used to be? I'm thankful for every testimony of rank sinners being changed into people of God. How is that possible? It's because Jesus died. And He gave His body and He gave His blood where it can have. You know, I think it's good for us to come back and reflect. This is what gives us the power. And when we sing a little song that says, in the name of Jesus, and we take a stand against the powers of the enemy that comes against us, I think it's good for us to reflect and consider, how is it that that's possible? You know, I like to experience the dynamics of being able to resist the enemy and go away from that setting, whatever it might be, and feel the euphoria of, I kept the victory. That's a good thing. But I believe it's appropriate and it's something that's necessary for us to establish, I will observe. This broken piece of bread, this unleavened bread, this cup, this is something that's, I'm doing this because I'm purposefully engaging my mind. Some of you, I hope all of you are listening, but some of you might not be. Some of you might be thinking about, I don't know, flying a kite or thinking about something just out there. I have been pretty good at daydreaming in my life. I can think about something that, you know, if I get into a situation where I really don't like what's going on in the environment, I'm still very capable of daydreaming and thinking about something just to tune out what my surroundings are. But when we come to an ordinance service, we're disciplining our minds to think. You know, I believe that all of us can learn to do basic math in our heads. But if you don't discipline yourself to do it, you'll never do it. You have to practice at that. We have to discipline our minds to think. This is representing Jesus' body. Jesus took the Passover meal and he implemented something a little different. Okay? The same as last Sunday, you remember we talked about feet washing. And it was something Jesus said, if I've done it, I want you to do it. I'm being an example. If I do it as your Lord and Master, you ought to do it one to one another. So let's go back now to John, the 13th chapter, and notice down about verse 15. Jesus said this after the washing his disciples' feet. He says, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." You know, it's one thing to do as we're told, and it's another level to follow an example. I know as a father, I gave my children things to do that maybe they hadn't witnessed me doing. But as time went on, I think they could see that I wasn't asking them to do things that I wouldn't do. And when Jesus said, go do this, he said, I'll give you an example. I gave you a pattern. This is something you ought to follow. I'd like to go on to 1 Corinthians 11th chapter. We made the comment that an ordinance doesn't make us holy. There are those that teach that the Lord's Supper, partaking of the bread and the cup, becomes something else. And I want us to realize that we have a responsibility as we come in and we partake of that. Verse 24 of chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. It says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Now, who's speaking here? This is the Apostle Paul. Was he at that Last Supper? He was not. And none of the people he was writing to had been at the Last Supper. And it's very unlikely that anyone he was writing to had ever literally saw with their own eyes Jesus. They were in Corinth, a long ways from Jerusalem. There's a slim chance that a Jew or person that was in Jerusalem that had actually saw Jesus in the flesh was at Corinth at this time. This is probably about 60 years later, but most likely they weren't. So he's writing to another generation. There are young people here that probably don't have a full understanding. Why do we have ordinance service? Why is the bread there? It's not just funny tasting bread that you might get a little extra. No, I want us to think about it in a different manner. This is a representative of Jesus' body that was broken for us. He says in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death until he come." You are demonstrating that you believe that Jesus died for the sins of mankind. And then he says in verse 27, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Do you know who could eat the Passover meal? You had to be a Jew. You couldn't have been handling dead bodies and then eat the Passover. You had to be clean. Not just wash your hands clean, but you had to be clean from defilement to eat the Passover. To be partaker of the ordinance service, you need to have your experience up to date with the Lord. There's a responsibility there. There's a lot of parallels that I want us to realize. It's not just some little routine. And there are those that teach that the bread that you eat and the cup that you drink of become the literal flesh and blood of Jesus in your body. It's called transubstantiation. I believe that's false doctrine. I don't believe that's legitimate. I believe that's a hopes that I can partake of something and it'll make me holy. But the Apostle Paul says it's the other way around. Don't do this unworthily. We have to have integrity with God. We have to have a clear heart and a clear conscience before God. I didn't just read this. Maybe we won't take the time to do it. But in Exodus 12, it tells us that the meal was to be a lamb that was roasted with fire. It couldn't be in a soup. It had to be unleavened bread, and it was served with bitter herbs. And that's what they were to eat for the unleavened bread. So this time of year, or the meaning of this time of year, changed from Passover to the Lord's Supper for Christianity in the New Testament. To some people, they've simply referred to it as the ordinance service. Some people like to use the word communion. Some people say Eucharist. It's known, a Eucharist would be known more as a sacrament. Something that is consecrated at an altar of prayer. We believe that we ought to pray over the cup and over the bread, because that's what Jesus did. We're asking God to bless us with understanding and realization. We're asking the Lord to give us a greater ability to fathom the sacrifice He made for us. I've already read the scripture there in 1 Corinthians 11. I wrote it down twice here. That we should not knowingly partake. If you're holding a grudge, you need to fix that. If you're not in a place of a clear heart before the Lord, we need to get that taken care of. But I want us to realize that the Passover of the Old Testament time frame corresponds. But Jesus took the Passover at the Passover meal and He said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. I want you to partake of this bread. I want you, unleavened bread. I want you to partake of the cup. And remember, this is my body. This is my blood that's given for you. I want us to have the full understanding that we can't participate and think that it's going to make us right with God. We have to be right with God. I want us to go from here realizing that Jesus became our Passover lamb. The lamb of the Old Testament was a lamb from the flock. It could have been a goat. It could have been a sheep. It was supposed to be perfect without blemish. There's a parallel there, is there not? Jesus was perfect heart. He was a perfect man to be offered. He says he was tempted in all points, like as we, yet without sin. So we come to this time of year anticipating Easter Sunday. What does it mean? What does Easter Sunday mean to us? What does the resurrection of the Lord mean to us? For Jesus to come up out of the grave with life, eternal life. And he came up to give that to mankind. He came up from the grave so that we can be saved. When we plead the blood, when we plead his sacrifice, there's something that can happen in our hearts, in our lives. That's what makes the difference. That's what enables us. That's what gives us the power. So I trust our little thought this morning will help us have a better understanding of what it means, ordinance service. It's not something to avoid, but it's a time to consciously engage our mind and think. The Lord paid the ultimate price where we could be saved. He washed his disciples' feet. Of anybody that should have got their feet washed by somebody else, it should have been Jesus. He was the teacher. He was the instructor. But no, he washed their feet. They could have. Where did the water come from? I think there was some there. And the disciples hadn't bothered. No one had bothered to wash their feet. And Jesus went and washed theirs. Lord, help us to follow the example and to be willing and prepared to do it consciously, not looking for, I believe we can come from ordinance service with inspiration, with a real blessing in our hearts. But I'm not looking to enter into this because the Lord's going to give me courage to face the ugly situation in my life. I'm entering in this because I want to fully applaud. I want to fully appreciate what God did when he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe could be saved. Isn't that marvelous that we could be saved and delivered? So I desire your prayers. I want to have the reality of what Jesus came to do in this world. I want to have that reality in my life every day. You pray for me.